Just a couple things quickly. Some of you may remember a woman named Brenda Skolick, who used to attend here, and we received word that she suddenly passed away. And so I know that might, some of you might have remembered her, and I'd never met Brenda, but I wanted to pass along that news that she had a brain aneurysm suddenly passed in Calgary. So let's just pray for Brenda's family. Lord Jesus, we just pray that you would cover those who knew Brenda and are coming to terms with her sudden passing. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just be with them and her family and friends, Lord, just minister to their needs today. In Jesus' name, amen. Also, I just wanted to put a date on your calendar. It wasn't in the bulletin, but it's coming up pretty quick. October, I think, 14th to 16th is a Salt and Light conference. It's a leaders' conference. And Salt and Light does this conference every year in Fargo. And 2 years ago, we did a road trip. Some of you guys were on that road trip with us. And we had an absolute hoot on this road trip. Stayed in hotels and had a lot of fun and received a lot of rich teaching and prayer. It was a wonderful time. And so we want to throw that out again. Michelle and I we're planning on going, and we want to invite, if you'd like to come. It's a leaders' conference, but it's not just for leaders. It's for those who are wanting to grow in areas of spiritual gifting and development. So don't feel like you can't come if you're not you don't have a role of spiritual leadership. Even if you want to develop in leadership giftings and roles, this is a wide open conference. So let me know. We're going to get information out to you. It's very affordable. And we'll start working on rides and all those kinds of things. So mark it on your calendar, October 14th to 16th. All right. Let's start with a question. What does the word gospel mean? What does the word gospel? Good news. That's right. The word gospel is one of those words that shows up quite a bit in the scriptures. And it literally means good news. Good news about what? What is this good news that the scripture talks about? Well, we're going to talk about that today. We're going to explore the whole concept of gospel or good news. And that's what we're going to do today. Well, when you think about those two words, good news, there's the news part of it. Let's talk about that first. News. Well, what is news? What's news? Why do you turn on the news? Why do you turn to the news? What is it? Something that's happened, right? So there's something that's happened, and it's important that people know about it, right? What else? Right. Yeah. Something's going on and we don't know, and so we need to somehow find out about that information. Rachel, did you have something to share? No? Were you going to say something? Information, yeah. News really is just information, but it's information beyond our scope of understanding. It's not something that just happens in your house. It's something beyond you that you wouldn't know about unless somebody told you, right? And usually news is something that's important for you. It has some bearing on your life, or there's some reason why you should find out about this. Well, in ancient times, they were just as interested in news as we are today. Now, they may not have had the television, they may not have had the internet or newspapers, but in fact, they were just as interested in finding out information as you or me. A lot of people lived in small villages or in places, and most people in ancient times wouldn't have traveled much beyond maybe a day's walk from where they lived. And so you can imagine, when somebody would travel through your region, what would you want to find out? News, right? You'd want to know what's going on in the world beyond this day's walk from us. And they'd want to know all kinds of things that would maybe have bearing on them. What's going on in politics? What's going on in the world of fashion, you know? Why do we see people wearing these strange new clothes? And they would have had a lot of the same kind of interests as we do. Well, it's in that context that we have this word gospel. The word good news, or the word news, assumes two things. One, that there's a message that needs to be shared, but secondly, that there's somebody who is a messenger of that news. And so there's both a message and a messenger. This word gospel carries also the idea that there is information that is beyond our scope of reference. There's some information that we need to hear that we wouldn't normally have a knowledge of in and of ourselves. It's beyond us. And we wouldn't have the ability to acquire that knowledge unless somebody comes into our world and tells us about it. In the Old Testament, there was this growing sense, especially in the writings of the prophets, that there was something coming. Maybe someone coming. There was a light that was going to dawn. There was a Messiah that would come. There was something coming that was beyond us, but there was this anticipation that something was about to come. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9 to 13, the prophet Isaiah declares this. He says, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands." This prophecy has a sense of anticipation. God is about to send a message. His word is coming out of his mouth, and it's going to come in such a way that it's going to revolutionize the whole world. Things are going to bud and flourish. His word will go out and it'll accomplish something. It won't return to him until it's accomplished everything for which it was sent. And not only is this news, not only is this a message, this is good news. This is bringing about all kinds of good things. Put it this way. This is the way that a certain angel put it to shepherds in a field. "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." There is this sense something was coming. Something was coming. It wasn't just news, it was good news for all people. So what this word gospel tells us, and what the prophets foretold, was that there was something compelling, some life-altering news or information that was just too good to keep to ourselves. It was good news of great joy for all people. Well, we're going to talk about that news in a moment, but before we get to what that good news is, we need to talk about how that good news was delivered. Because wherever there's a message, there's also a messenger, right? And so this good news came via someone. Who was that messenger? Jesus, right? The Lord Jesus came as this messenger of this good news. He came bearing this gospel, this good news. I mean, how could a message be heard unless there's a messenger, right? In Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15, it says, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one that they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching it to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." The Apostle Paul is saying, unless there's someone to deliver this incredible amazing message, people aren't going to hear, and if they can't hear, they're not going to believe. And if they can't hear and believe, they can't respond to this incredible news, this incredible message. Oftentimes, when a messenger comes with news, sometimes people don't always believe what they hear. Isn't that true? Sometimes the message is so far out of our scope of reference that we're like, nah, that can't be true. Imagine that you would be given the job of bringing the message of snow to a Stone Age tribe in the Amazon. Snow would be so far beyond their scope of reference that you might have some trouble convincing them that what you're saying is true, right? Well, this news is no difference. It was so beyond our scope of reference that there was a special messenger required in order to deliver it. Someone who came from God, someone who came from that realm far beyond our scope of reference, someone who could testify not just to what they had heard, but what they had seen and what they know and who they were. This messenger was Jesus. When Jesus came, he came declaring that he had good news to share. You know, right at the beginning of his ministry, before he had healed anybody, before he had done anything, he went to his home synagogue, his home church, and he takes the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he gets up, and he rolls it out, and he starts to read. And what does he read? What are the first words out of his mouth? It's in Isaiah 61. It's right here. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Did you hear that? How can people hear and understand unless someone is sent? Jesus said, I have come, I have been sent by God. And not only have I been sent, I've been anointed. And not only have I been anointed, I have been empowered by the Holy Spirit for this work of declaring this good news, this message to the poor. I've come to proclaim freedom for captives, sight for the blind. Jesus was the good news bearer to us. He was the one sent by the Father to bring this message that we could not grasp without him. He is anointed by the Holy Spirit to do that. So what is this good news? Well, in a word, Jesus. Let me say that again. What is this good news? In a word, Jesus. Let me explain. You see, Jesus didn't just come as to bear a message. He was also the message himself. Jesus was both message and messenger. Let me explain. In Isaiah 55, where it says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. There's this promise in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, that the word of God would come from his mouth and would come to earth. Do you hear that? Well, what does it say in John chapter 1? John says, the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. Jesus was the message. He was the Word made flesh, both messenger and message. This good news arrived in human form, and his life and all that he said and did became a living message from the Father for us. This good news was Jesus himself. I want to say a phrase to you, and I want you to remember it. It's a very simple phrase, just two words. Everything communicates. I want you to think about that. Everything communicates. They say that only 7% of our communication is by words, right? So what's the rest of it? 93% of our communication goes beyond the words that we speak. The fact is that everything about us communicates. Our priorities, how we spend our money, how we spend our time, who we spend time with, where we work, what we do, how we rest, how we play. Everything in our lives communicates who we are and what we're all about. Everything communicates. And it was no different than Jesus. His whole life was a message about who he was and what he was here to do. Everything communicates. When Jesus came, he didn't just come with words. Yes, he spoke and said really important information. Yes, he described this good news with words. But more than just speaking, Jesus embodied the message that he spoke. So let me briefly describe what this good news is that Jesus embodied. Well, the first thing that Jesus came trying to help us to understand is what our true enemy is, what the threat is. You see, mankind, it was no secret that mankind was messed up. And everybody was trying to figure out why that was. The Jews blamed the Romans. The Romans blamed the Jews. Right? Everybody says, this is the reason that I'm having such a hard time. This is the reason I'm not happy. I don't know, maybe you've even experienced that in your own life where you're looking, why am I so unhappy? Why is there such darkness within my heart? Why am I struggling so much? And we blame this and we look to this and we say, this is the threat. No, this is the threat. And what Jesus clarified to us is that the real threat isn't out there. It's in here. The real threat is within. It's called sin. He told this to a teacher of the law named Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He says this, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. But people loved darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil." We've got a problem, a sin problem. We love darkness. It feels good to sin. We don't like to admit that, but it does. Sin feels good. Temptation feels good. It draws us, it lures us. There's a part of each one of us that loves to willfully do what we want rather than to do what is right. Anyone who claims otherwise is lying. Sin is a powerful enemy because through it, we end up bringing destruction both to ourselves and to those around us. Yes, sin feels good, but it brings about destructive results. Sin also has a profound impact on our relationship with God. It estranged us. It broke our relationship with God. Sin is us saying, God, I can do it on my own. Thank you very much. I don't need you. I'm fine without you. But listen, this is where the good news comes in. Jesus came announcing that he had made a way to deal with sin in sinful man. In fact, he claimed to be the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the first thing that Jesus communicated as this great messenger of the good news is what the real problem was, that the threat really is within us, not out there. The second thing he came declaring is that salvation is here. Salvation is present. In the same chapter, he tells Nicodemus, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Jesus came to save us from our sin and from our self-destructive patterns. He didn't come to condemn us. He didn't come to say, "I got bad news. You guys are all going to have to receive the punishment of your sin." No. He didn't come with bad news. He came with good news. He said, "I've come to save the world from the results of sin." He came to declare that God still favored mankind. And so he declared amnesty for rebels, forgiveness for debtors, pardon for lawbreakers. Amen? Any lawbreakers in the house? Any rebels? Good news. Jesus came declaring freedom for you. He goes on to tell Nicodemus in verse 14. He says, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life." What? Jesus, whoa. What's going on? What's up with Moses and lifting up a snake in the desert? What's going on here? Let me just briefly explain, because it's really important. You guys know the story of how Moses led the people of Israel into the desert. Well, there's a point in time in their wilderness wanderings where the people were grumbling and rebelling against God and against Moses. And what happened? Poisonous snakes got in the camp and started biting people, and they started dying. This became a symbol to Israel of sin, because sin's like that. Bites you, poisons you, kills you, brings death. And what God told Moses to do was to make a bronze snake, put it on a pole, put it in the middle of camp, and anyone who was bitten by a snake who would look on the bronze snake would be healed. And that's why in the medical profession you see the stick with the serpent on it, right? If you've been wondering. And so what Jesus is saying is, just in that same way, the Son of Man, I will be put on a stick, on a cross, on a tree. And I will be lifted up. And those who believe in me, who receive my forgiveness, they will receive healing from the poison of sin. It's a powerful metaphor that Jesus was using. And he did just that. He didn't just say he was going to do it. He didn't just come with a message of deliverance. He didn't just come with a message of good news. He was the good news. He actually went the full distance. He actually allowed sinful man to nail him, perfect sacrifice, on the cross. And he took our sins and he paid our penalty. Hallelujah. This is the gospel. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." This is the gospel message. Jesus came declaring, and Jesus came accomplishing. This is the good news. But listen, remember what I said earlier? What was the phrase that I used? I wanted you to remember it. Some of you remember? Everything communicates. Well, guess what? The messenger and the message must continue, right? Because there are still people who haven't heard. There are still communities. There are still people who have not heard the message. And so after Jesus rose from the dead, he gathered his disciples together. And what did he tell them? Listen, in Acts 1 verse 8, he says, "And the Holy Spirit will come upon you." No, and you will receive, I'm quoting Isaiah 61, sorry. Acts 1:8, "And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses." You'll be my messengers, right? And where would they go? To Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the outermost parts of the earth. In other words, his message-bearing work was to continue on in his followers. The message-giving has not completed. It continues on. I would like to read for you Hebrews 2:3. Hebrews is this incredible book. We actually talked about it 2 weeks ago. Can you remember, does anybody remember who the Hebrews were? Like what period of time this was written to? Were these new believers? Was this just after Jesus went and ascended into heaven? No, these believers were actually two generations down the road, weren't they? So these people that the letter of Hebrews is written to, they actually hadn't met Jesus, right? Jesus had proclaimed this message to his followers, and then his followers had proclaimed that message to this group that got this letter. So this is kind of like two generations down the road. And this is what the writer says in Hebrews 2:3. He says, "This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him." So there they're saying, the people who had known Jesus had taken that message, had taken that salvation, and what did they do with it? Did they keep it to themselves? No. They brought it to the next generation, and they declared this message to them. They were recipients of people who were faithful to carry that message. And then it goes on. Hebrews 2:4. "God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles." Oh. So these people just didn't come declaring a message. They also came demonstrating the message. Everything communicates, right? So they weren't just people who said, "Well, you know, the Lord told us to deliver a message." No, they didn't just come with it. They came living it in the same ways that Jesus lived. They also lived. They came with signs and wonders, demonstrations of power. As Jesus healed people when he was in his earthly ministry, so they went and they healed people. As Jesus delivered people from spiritual oppression, so they came delivering people from spiritual oppression. And so they weren't just deliverers of a message, they were demonstrators of a king and a kingdom. Amen? You catching this? Everything communicates. Let's keep going. Verse 4. "So God also testified to it by signs and wonders and various miracles." And then it says this, "and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will." How do the gifts of the Holy Spirit testify to the gospel? Right? Because last year we learned that the gifts of this Holy Spirit were given for the common good in the church. What does that have to do with testifying to the good news out there? Actually, it has everything to do with it. You see, when we, the body of Christ, love one another, as his Holy Spirit forms bonds between us, as the gifts of the Spirit are in operation in our midst, guess what the world sees? They see Jesus, right? They see him in us. So that when we go out to proclaim a message, they're like, the world's not going, "You know what? I don't know. They say all these things, but I've been to their church, and they're fighting all the time. I don't know, they've got a really great message in this. Jesus is awesome, but when I'm with them, they really don't care about me. You know, I had a problem the other day, and I talked to my Christian friend, and they really didn't have time for me. Do you guys, are you catching this? The gifts of the Holy Spirit testify to the gospel because they will know we are Christians by our love. Right? Everything communicates. This is really important. And let me tell you why. Because I know there are some of you who have felt a lot of self-condemnation because you know that you're not a natural orator of the gospel. You feel the pressure for personal evangelism to tell somebody about Jesus, but you're going, you know what? I just don't feel that that's what God's called me to do. And there's been a lot of emphasis put on personal evangelism. Don't get me wrong, I think we all need to know how to share the hope that we have. We all need to be able to do that. But I think one of the things that's happened in the church is we end up making everybody feel like they've got to be a personal evangelist. You feeling me on that? But the fact is that when we live out our faith, when we live out the call to be the body of Christ, when the gifts are in operation, when we're doing a good job loving one another, the fact is that we are testifying in that place. We are testifying more than in word, we are testifying in deed, and everybody's going to have a different part in that. You might not be the one going out and telling people about Jesus. You might not be on the street corners preaching, but let me ask you this, when somebody comes into our church, do they find a place where they can belong? Do they find that maybe our friendship groups are so tight that they can't get in there? We need to be a welcoming body so that when people come into the church, they find family. It takes a whole village to raise a child. You know, for years I was at LBE, and one of the great frustrations in ministry, and I know, Charlotte, you probably are thinking about this right now, but you know, evangelistic ministry, is that we can only do so much with the message. With the actual, sure, somebody might respond to the message. Sure, it's a compelling message, but guess what comes after the message? Raising the children who respond to the message, right? And that happens right here, folks. Gospel ministry includes raising spiritually immature people into spiritual adults. Amen? You guys feeling me on that? Everything communicates. How we forgive one another embodies Christ's reconciling work. Amen? If we can't forgive each other, how can we preach a message of reconciliation? How we obey God's call and commands embodies Christ's willingness to follow the Father's commands when he laid down his life on the cross. We're called to reflect that in our obedience. How we treat the broken embodies God's favor for a lost and broken world. Amen? How does the gospel reflect in our lives and in our fellowship? I think that's the question I wanted to ask today. I want to put two calls out this morning. One is if you are in a place where you've never responded to the gospel, today's a day of salvation. Every day is a day of salvation. And so if you have never responded to the good news message, I want to encourage you to respond to that today. If you have not yet believed that God sent his Son to die for your sins and that he rose from the dead and that he is seated in the heavenly realms and that one day he will return and restore all things, if you have not yet believed that, will you? Will you put your faith in Jesus Christ and respond to that message that Jesus came bearing and demonstrating? The second group that I want to put an invitation out to is those who are here today who have responded to that gospel message but are still working out the call to be a bearer of the gospel. What does that mean for me specifically. Okay, Jesus, I hear the call that I continue to do the gospel ministry that you started. What does that look like for my design and for the gifts you've given me? What does that mean in my life? How do I build my life around the gospel rather than trying to fit the gospel into my life? Do you hear that? I really believe that that's a call the Lord's giving to us at Trinity Baptist this year, that we, that the gospel would be at the center of our ministry. And so if you're working that out, I'd like to pray for you today. So the two calls are, if you have not yet believed, we'd love to pray for you. And if you have believed, but you're working out what the gospel looks like, we'd like to pray for you. So I'm just going to call the elders forward and anyone else who would like to come and pray. Come on up, and we'll pray for you.